Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash, I love Yehuda, Vayomer, Bi Adoni, Daber no Adcha, Dover Bezne Adoni, Val Yichar Apcha Bi Avdecha, Kichamocha Kefaro. Yehuda approached Yosef, and he said to him, "Please, my master, let your servant speak a word in the ears of my master, and don't let your anger be wrathed." I don't think that's a word, but I just made it up. "In your servant, because you are like Paro. You're like Paro." And then he goes to his whole little speech over here, Adoni, Sho'al, this, that, whatever. Goes through every single little thing that happened over here. Unbelievable what's happening in this parsha. What is up with Yehuda? Why did Yehuda approach? What was Yosef doing? What was going on over here? So first, we got to go into two different reasons why Yosef did what he did. What were the two reasons why Yosef did what he did? So number one, he knew that the dreams that he had in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev were really nevuah. As we said before, he knew that a kovish nevuah was chayiv misa, that if you withhold a prophecy that you have, you are chayiv to die. So he could not withhold the prophecies that he had. He wasn't sure where the prophecies were, but he knew they were prophecies, and therefore he could not hold them back. He had to say out exactly what he saw. The purpose of them was to show what he can do to avoid galus. How do I avoid exile? How do I avoid bringing all of Bnei Yisrael into galus? So he saw he would be king of the opposing nation. The nation that would be going up against him, the nation that would be going up against Bnei Yisrael, that would be fighting Bnei Yisrael, and that would be enslaving them, could be Yosef. So maybe he shouldn't reveal himself to them. When they didn't realize who he was in the beginning, he realized, maybe I should be the king. Send them into Golus by me, and I'll make it the easiest Golus out there for them. I'll make it 400 years of easy stuff. My kids will become the kings, their kids will become the kings, and slowly but surely the Jews will be king. They'll be enslaved, but enslaved under other Jews, without them ever realizing that Jews are the ones in charge. That's what we should do. And that's what the dreams were. The dreams were showing that the 11 brothers bow down to Yosef. That not only the 11 brothers, but the sun, the moon, and the stars. We know that the children of Yaakov, you know, are supposed to be like the stars in the sky, then all of them bow down to Yosef. He saw, oh, I'm supposed to be the king. They're supposed to bow down to me. And if we do it that way, then everything will be okay. The problem is, he couldn't take it. Lo yachol yisapek. It would have been great, but he couldn't say who he was. As soon as he let go who he was, as soon as he said out loud, "This is who I am, guys," or he said, "I am Yosef," etc. As soon as he said that out loud, the dream is up. Dream is up. No longer is he the king of the other nation. Now he's just one of them. It's no longer a gullus. It's no longer a real gullus if Yosef is the one in charge. It's not going to be the same. He lost it. So lo yachol yisapek. He couldn't tell them whatsoever. He couldn't tell them who he was, but he couldn't take it anymore. After all this was happening, he couldn't take it anymore, and he had to say it out loud. He lost it, and it was all gone. What? I'm sorry?
Why couldn't he just, if he knew this was going to happen, their brothers, he hadn't seen in a while. So, like, just avoid contact
with them. Why not avoid contact with them? Why not totally avoid contact with them?
Yeah.
In other words, let them all through.
Be that ruler, which is like...
That will lead into our second answer, and this is based on Amiyam Loewes.
Come in, they buy food, and they leave.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
In other words, just let them... Oh, well, you couldn't have them leave. You have to get them back in Mitzrayim. How are you going to get them to stay in Mitzrayim?
You could have done all this well without having to...
But how are you going to get them to stay in Mitzrayim? You got to get them to stay here.
Come spies, but have someone else do it.
Somebody else do it instead of him.
Do it for him, you know?
But eventually, the Shvatim would have fought that other person. Who knows what would have happened if it wasn't Yosef? We'll see what happens in a second. But the Miyam always says there's another part as well. He knew they needed a bigger kapara for seven things. They must have needed a bigger kapara for seven things that they did wrong. Last year I said there were five things. I realize now there are seven things that they did wrong. Seven things are the following. Number one, they hated Yosef and spoke harshly with him. Right? They spoke harshly with him. They couldn't speak to him a single word of peace. That's number one. Number two, they sicked dogs on Yosef. They sicked dogs on him. That was the first thing they did when they saw him, when he came to Dosan. They sicked dogs on him. Number three, they threw him into a pit. They threw Yosef into a pit. Number four, they sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim. Number five, they caused sadness to Yaakov Avinu. They caused Yaakov Avinu to become upset. Number six, they were mezalzel in the kavod of Yosef. Yosef deserved a ton of kavod. They were mezalzel mezalzel in that covenant of Yosef. Number seven, they tried to save Yosef. The exact opposite, I'm sorry. They didn't try to save Yosef. They didn't try to save him. They didn't try to do anything to be able to stop him from getting out there. Even those that didn't do a direct thing in trying to sell him or whatever like that, nobody tried to save him completely. Reuven tried to save him from dying, but he never tried to save him from being sold.
My understanding that was Reuven was going to come back and take him out of the pit.
Well, he could.
And true, but he didn't do it enough. The best thing that we know was going to happen was that Reuven was going to take him out and get him to wherever he was supposed to go as soon as he could. That didn't happen. And because that didn't happen, he still was responsible for what later on happened to everybody. So now let's understand how you get around all these problems. He realized, Mina Shamayim, he's put in a position where he can give them all a kapara. Normally, you can't be the one to give other people a kapara. God is the one to be a kapara. But he saw through his dreams that he could be the one to be able to give them a kapara. What was he going to do? First thing he did was, they spoke harshly to me by a daberi tongue kashos. He spoke with them harshly. It's the first thing he did. He used a different language. He spoke harshly with them. He did bad things. Number two, they sick dogs on him. Dogs are sent to people that speak Lashon Hara. So he accused them of speaking a type of Lashon Hara. He called them Meraglim. Called them spies. You guys are the bad guys instead of me. That's the second one. Number three, he threw them into jail. You guys threw me into a pit. He threw me into a little pit. So I threw you guys into a pit. He threw them into a jail, into a little pit, to go exactly against what they did to him. Number four, they caused him to be sold as a slave. He made them think that they were going to be sold as slaves. Because what do you do when you get sold as a slave? You steal something, right? You stole something. If they catch you, they're going to bring you back. So he put their money back in their sacks so they'd think that they had just stolen it, or they would think, oh, what are they going to do to us? And because of that, they were afraid they were going to be sold as slaves down in Mitzrayim. That was number four. Number five, he made them realize how bad Yaakov felt. He made them realize how bad Yaakov was feeling. That no, we can't take Binyamin. You know how bad Yaakov's going to feel if we do such a thing. So just like you guys made Yaakov feel bad, now I'm going to let you know how bad Yaakov really feels. I'm going to put you in that situation all over again to let you know you don't want that situation to happen. Number six, you're a mezalzel in my kavod. You're going to bow down to me. You're going to bow down to me. You're going to be mishtachav Eli. Number seven,
your brother, or as the king of Mitzrayim?
As the king of Mitzrayim and Yosef himself. Yosef was extremely covenant. Yeah, 100%. No, the covenant of right now. Covenant of right now. And number seven, you didn't try to save Yosef. Let's see if you try to save Binyamin. If they pass those seven tests, then everything's going to be okay. The kapara will be complete. The atonement will be complete. And then everything's going to be all good. He did it, but he still saw through Ruach HaKodesh that he was missing something. So a tiny little bit missing. That little bit that wasn't, that Ruach HaKodesh that he saw that he wasn't able to be mochel then. He couldn't fully forgive them for everything they did. That tiny little bit of mechila that he never did. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says he was never mochel them. He never said out loud, I'm mochel you guys. Since he never did that, he knew he failed. He knew he failed. And that's lo yachol yisapek. He wasn't able to do anymore. Bayefk alehem. And he cried on them. Alehem is missing a yud. The pshat behind missing a yud is that it stands for the yud haruge malchus, the asar haruge malchus. He cried at them, Aleihem is missing that yud. The asar haruge malchus are now going to exist because of me. If you look at those words, vayek aleihem is the words vayar Yosef bahem ki asid lios haruge malchus. Again, vayar Yosef bahem ki asid lios yud haruge malchus. That's vayek aleihem. You're right, it's not Yosef's fault, but he realized that's what's going to happen because he couldn't be mochelam. No matter how many kaparas he gave them, he still couldn't be fully mochelam. And because that Saruge Malchus had to happen, that's why he cried and he said, I can't take it anymore. He went ahead and said, I just can't do it.
I'm sorry? Now, how it starts, one of the kinnas?
Not with Yosef. But
yeah, El Eskara.
That's not how it starts with Yosef. Yosef wasn't able to be mochel?
No, that
the brothers. Well, the king, the emperor, whoever the emperor was, yes, 100% brought that up to them, and that was the reason why he first caught the Asarugim Malchus, or at least four of them. But regardless, yes, 100%, that is part of it. 100%, the Yudarugim Malchus were 100% based on what happened over here. Now, did the Shvatim not know this is Yosef? How could they not know? Only 10 minutes late, not bad. How did Shvatim not know? How could they not realize that there's a white boy sitting on the throne of Mitzrayim full of people that were black? and this guy is up there, he's speaking to them with tremendous chachma. He gave them a Jewish law. He gave them a Jewish law. What happens in Mitzrayim if you steal? They chopped off your hand. They chopped off your head. They killed you. You steal from the king? You don't think you're going to be killed? Of course you're going to be killed. But instead, what did he say? No, you guys can all go free. Him, I'm going to take as a slave. A Jewish law. Where did they get that from? Where did Yosef get that from? That's what they started wondering. Then they started thinking to themselves, who's this interpreter over here? This little 7 to 8 year old boy? A little 7, 6, 7, 8 year old boy who's white? What's going on with this kid? Who in the world is this kid? Where'd he come from? What's going on with him? And how in the world does he know Hebrew? So maybe he's a slave bias. But there's got to be something more than that. What's going on over here with this kid? That was the problem. What is happening?
His daughter was down there?
They did. So maybe it was Osnas' kid. But this kid knows a lot. Menashe was very, very powerful, as we'll see in a second. There's something very, very strange as to what happened over here. So what's going on? How do we understand all this? So what happened?
How do we know that it was mutter for the brothers to eat by the feast? He said, prepare meat.
How do you know the brothers consider themselves Bnei Yisrael who required Shechita? I mean, it happens to be Tavach, Tavach, Ve'achin, that they did Shechit, and they prepared the meat enough for the brothers, so that might have meant that one of them was Mashkiach. Regardless, who says they consider themselves Bnei Yisrael? The whole fight between the brothers, the Shvatim and Yosef HaTzadik, was about whether they were Bnei Noach or Bnei Yisrael. They're Bnei Noach, they don't need Shechita. So who cares? They don't need Shechita. That won't be required. But did they know or did they not know? So I saw a Chidah. I saw this Chidah, and I'm just going to add on a little bit to it. The Chidah says it one way. We're going to go on. Yehuda tested him. Yehuda tested Yosef, and he asked him, what do you think? Should we go ahead? Should we become your slaves? We'll all be your slaves? You can do whatever you want with us? When Yosef told him, no, you guys go free. And that guy, the one who stole, he's going to be the only one here. Why wouldn't Yosef want all of them as slaves? Why wouldn't Yosef want to take all 10 of them as slaves? It's not like they're not strong. It's not like they're not huge guys. Was he afraid of them? He's not really afraid of them. He wanted someone to be trusted. He didn't really trust them. What's going on over here? What's happening with all this? When they saw that he just wanted Binyamin, Yehuda realized there's no Mida Kenega Mida anymore. He realized that something's up with this guy. He looked at the guy really, really closely, and he realized this guy's Yosef. So he said, "Vayigash elav Yehuda." Yehuda approached him. "Vayomer, be Adoni, my master is one of the Yud Beis. Be Adoni, you're among us, my master. You're one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. It's 100%. You are one of us. You're one of me. You're just like me. And I know why you put this all in. I know that your Eved put it in. Yidaber no avdecha. Let your servants tell you what happened with that gviya. You want to know how Binyamin stole the gviya? Why Binyamin stole the gviya? Go tell. Go ask your servants. Because your servants are the one that put it inside there. I know it wasn't Binyamin himself. And later on, he said the words va'achiv meis. Before it, he said va'achiv enenu. That Yosef, we don't know where he is. Now he says, V'achiv Meis. I hold that you are Yosef and you're a Rasha Gummer. A Rasha Gummer. We know that a Rasha in his lifetime is still called dead. It's like he's dead. He has no life while he's still alive. He's a Rasha Gummer. At that time he said, V'achiv Meis, he's 100% dead. He's 100% dead. He thinks it's entirely revenge on Yosef's part. He thinks it's entirely revenge. How could it be otherwise? That's a Pshapian, and that's what he's saying over here. And that's why he says V'achiv Meis, and that's why he says B'aldini. And I know you're powerful, says Yehuda. However, I'm not going to fight you unless you make me. Unless you make me. Now, there's a tremendous medrash that goes on over here. Let's try to explain it. Go behind the scenes. What's the real fight behind Yosef and Yehuda? This comes originally from Yaakov Weinberg's son, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael's son, but it's just an unbelievable way of looking at things. You know what Yosef stands for? Yosef stands for beauty and aesthetics. You think it's shocking that throughout the Torah you see that Yosef is in Nahar, Yosef becomes beautiful, Yosef becomes a king. Yosef is all about the beauty. Either Yosef is totally up on top of the world, or he's all the way on the bottom. Yosef is never in the middle. Never in the middle. Think of what he is. When he was with the brothers, he was the best one of the Shvatim. The top one of the Shvatim. Then all of a sudden, what happened to him? What happened to him? Sold as a slave. All the way down. But then he became the top man in Potiphar's palace. Top man in Potiphar's little thing. Top guy up there. Then he went straight to jail. Straight to jail, all the way down to the bottom again. Then he became the top guy in the jail. Still not too high. But then he went straight up to become the king of Mitzrayim. Yosef's whole life is about going up, down, up, down, up, down. There's no middle ground by Yosef. Either you're all the way up on top or you're all the way down to the bottom. Yosef's life was all about, you can never sin. You can never do anything wrong. Because once you do something wrong, you're gone. That's it. There's no real way to get back. Or if you're going to get back, you got to go to the extremes. If you're going to be bad, be the extreme bad. If you're going to be good, be the extreme good. Never be in the middle. Never be a middle guy. Never be a guy who's just like, oh, I'm a good guy. Never be that. Either you're extremely good or you're extremely bad. Now, Yosef's way is unbelievable. Because either you're all the way up there or you're all the way down. You're never in the middle. You're just finding your way all the way up. When you sin, you're in the sinning mode. When you're good, you're in a great mode. You're awesome. The problem is, it's very dangerous to have a life like that. Very, very dangerous. To always be either up or down or up or down or up or down. You might just stay down. You might just stay down. It's, I don't want to compare it completely, but it's like some Bali Tshuva. Where a Bali Tshuva goes all the way from the bottom without climbing the rungs. He just goes straight up in base. We used to call them BAs, born-agains. They're born-agains. You know, like a born-again Christian. Like a born-again Jew. You know, just like, ah, I love it. I love everything. I love the whole world. I love this. I love that. That's the BAs. You know, the BAs that are all about that. It's just like, you're either on the bottom, you're all the way up on top, you're all the way in the bottom, you're all the way up on top. It's all bad. You screw up, you're out. Screw up, you're out. I want you out of Klausel. I want you out of here. I don't want you beer. I don't want you by here. I don't want you doing anything with me. That's the idea of Yosef. Yehuda is not like that. Gemara Makos and Daf Yud Aleph goes through all things that Yehuda was in Cherem. At the end of his life, he was in Cherem. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened for him to get out of Cherem, to get out of that excommunication. What did he do? He said all these different things. Yadav Ravlo, Ezer Mitzar of Tia. Each one was, one of them got him out of Cherem, put the bones back together. One of them was able to get him into Yeshiva Shomailo. One of them was able to get him to learn Torah with all of them. One of them is to say, Halacha is a libid of Shmai, a libid of Hilchasa, or Shmai is a libid of Hilchasa. Why not just say one thing and let Yehuda go straight up in Shemayim and say things that were perfect? Shad is, it's not Yehuda. Yehuda is all about going step by step, taking the steps up there. A real Baal Tshuva will know you got to go one step to the other, step to the other, step to the other, step. Start stepping up there. You can't just jump all the way up. You're going to fail. You might fall all the way down. That's Yosef. Yehuda is all about taking the steps, working on yourself and working your way up. A true, true Baal Tshuva, to work your way up the ladder to be able to come back up. Yosef fought Yehuda, and Yosef said, Yehuda, never sin. I don't want you to ever sin, because if you sin, you're out. Yehuda said, you can sin, and then you become a better person because of it. Yehuda said, I can sin with Tamar and become better. But Yosef, if you would have sinned with Eishes Potiphar, he's out. He's out. There's nothing he can do. That's the real difference between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef is all about never sin, never do anything wrong. Beauty, aesthetics, everything good. Never do anything like that. Yehuda, work your way back up. Work your way all the way back up. One of these guys, Yosef or Yehuda, is going to be the king of Bnei Yisrael. One of them is going to be the king. Who's going to be the king? Is it going to be Yehuda? A guy who's going to lead Bnei Yisrael in a way, let's move up slowly, guys. Let's move up gradually. Or is it going to be a guy like Yosef? Is it a guy who's just going to be from down here to up here? We know there's two Mashiachs. Is it Mashiach ben Yosef who's going to be the anchor? Or Mashiach ben David that's going to be the anchor? That's the fight that's going on with Yehuda right now. We don't know who's going to be the true king of Bnei Yisrael. Yosef, he's awesome, but he's dangerous. Yerovam ben Nevat, who was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me, you, and David HaMelech are going to be walking together in the Garden of Eden. Me, you, and David HaMelech. Said Yerovam ben Nevat, who's first? Who's first? Yerovam was from Shevet Yosef, from Shevet Ephraim. David is from Shevet Yehuda. Said Yerovam, who's going to be first? Is that me or David? Because he said that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David is going to be first. Said Yerovam, I'm out. I'm out. And he went and he made these golden calves and he brought them up there. Because Yosef is all about, if I'm not on top, if I'm not number one, then I'm all the way down to the bottom. He made these golden calves and went out there. That's Yosef. Yosef's all about, I'm either the best or I'm the worst. There is no such thing as an in-between by me. There's no such thing as an in-betweener. That's what Yosef is all about. But Yehuda, Tavamel, can work his way back in. He can work his way back up. That's the difference. What should Bnei Yisrael follow? Should we be Yosef people or should we be Yehuda people? That was the ideological fight behind them. The idea, like, yeah.
Isn't that like the story with the sun and the moon? like the moon said, why should
similar,
we
be similar. I hear where you're going with all this. I don't have a good comparison between the sun and the moon and Yosef and Yehuda, though. But yeah, you got to have a little bit of both. But which one's going to be the ikar?
I got it.
Yeah,
the Shir Hamalos, the steps in the Beis Hamikdash, and you got the Mizbeach, which is a ramp, which is straight up.
That's very cute. But you have the steps up by the menorah as well. Very cute.
They had to run up, and they saw that it was dangerous, so they stopped it.
100%. There is something to that. Just know, by the way, Misyavne, the people who were with the Greeks, but they were Jewish people. They just wanted to assimilate with the nations. That is the idea of Yosef. That's the concept of Yosef. Let's be beautiful. What's wrong with having a bathhouse? What's wrong with working up our bodies to be able to be the best at sports? What's wrong with all that stuff? Jews can be just like them. That's Yosef. Because either you're fully with God, or you are fully on the other side. Not even realizing you're on the other side. Thinking that you're doing the right thing. You don't think your Rav Ben Avot had great reasons for doing what he's doing? God spoke to him. You don't think he had great reasons? But he went all the way down to the bottom. That's the idea. Binyamin is the perfect mediator. He's a guy without any chait. He's a guy without any sins throughout his entire life. Binyamin is all about such a perfect person can make a perfect start to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, before they make a full king, they got to have, before they make a real king, they got to have a king first, then they got to destroy a Malik, they have to build up the base of Mikdash. Binyamin's all about that. Binyamin's a perfect person to do that. He doesn't sin. What a guy. He can destroy everything, and that's why Shaul had to be king first. What they're doing in arguing about Binyamin is Yosef and Yehuda are arguing who should Binyamin be the first king of. The first king of Malchus Yehuda or the first king of Malchus Yisrael? Yosef says he's mine. And he grabs Binyamin and keeps him for himself, says Yehuda, no. You know what else they're arguing about? Should Goyim be in the world? Is there a point to Goyim? Should they be here or should they not be here at all? Yosef held Goyim have a purpose. The other nations have a purpose. There's a reason why they're here. We need to use them to become better people. We need to use them to be able to understand how to live our lives. We just got to find the good in the Goyim and bring it to us. That's what we got to do. Yehuda held, who cares about the Goyim? Who cares? What can they possibly do for us? What do we possibly gain from them? Separate ourselves completely. Yosef can be the king of Mitzrayim. Yehuda has to be the Rosh Shiva in Goshen. Yehuda has to separate himself and put himself in Goshen. He can't be anywhere near the other Goyim. Yosef can survive among the other nations. The Misyavne. Yehuda separates himself completely. He says, no, I can't deal with those people. Now let's look at the Medrash. The Malachim called out from Shemayim and they yelled out, who wants to go see a fight between a lion and an ox? The lion obviously referring to Yehuda. And the ox referring to Yosef. You know what the pshat is? A lion is somebody who yells out loud. What makes us do tshuva during El? The scream of the lion. The Gvuras Ari. The yell of the lion out loud. That huge roar. Everything that comes outside. That yell. That roar of the lion. That roar that comes out from the lion is a sign to do tshuva. That's Yehuda. Yehuda's about tshuva. But Yosef is an ox. A goring ox. A goring ox can be very, very good. In a dream, a goring ox can refer to a Talmud Chacham. But there's also a shore of tumor. There's a shore of pure tumor. It's either great or nothing. And that's what the Malachim were saying. Who should win? The ox or the lion? It wasn't just like, you know, one of those pipes where they, you know, they're like fighting each other. No, there's nothing like that. An animal cracker fight. A perfect little fight. It's nothing like that. So Yehuda yells out loud and he says, do you know us? Do you know who we are? Let me introduce you to my brothers. Shimon and Levi over here defeated the city of Shechem, 24,000 people, by themselves, mind you. Sure, it was after a bris. 24,000 people by Shimon and Levi. Just like to introduce you. You don't think they can destroy all of Mitzrayim? Sarimenu used to come here. You remember when Sarimenu was here? He gave you all makos. Every single one of you had plagues because of her. When Paro tried to get together with her, gave you guys plagues. That's number two. Number three, you ever heard of Melchames Bnei Yaakov? I have. Melchames Bnei Yaakov is crazy. One of the craziest wars you've ever heard before in your life. Reads like a comic book. That was us. You want to fight us? We'll take you all down. Said Yosef. And by the way, that's the old shot, by the way. I'll destroy all the Mitzrayim. He doesn't care. Yehuda doesn't care about the Goyim. He does not care about the other nations. You want me to destroy all the Mitzrayim? I'll start with you, and I'll end off with Paro. I'll kill Paro last. I'll destroy every last person in Mitzrayim. We're going to get to it. Don't worry. Yosef said, if you take out your sword, I'll wrap it around your own neck. What he's saying is, you need the Goyim. Don't tell me that you don't think you need Goyim. You need somebody to help support you. You need somebody to help you out within the world. You think God made an entire world with Goyim all over the place and there's no need for them at all? There's no way, says Yosef. There's no way that's true. Stop it, Yehuda. That's not true. You take out your sword, I'll wrap it around your neck, and I'll prove to you that we need the Goyim. Says Yehuda, I know this isn't me to connect me anymore. Binyamin was never involved. So Yosef says back to him, hey, why not say he was killed? Do you want 20 shekel? Pulls out his wallet. You want 20 shekel? Because that's what they took when Yosef HaTzadik was really sold. I'll give you 20 shekel for that. Yehuda got so mad, he said, we're starting to kill right now. He calls over Naftali. Yells to Naftali, and he says, Naftali, go count all the shukos in Mitzrayim, all the marketplaces in Mitzrayim. Naftali runs out, comes back, he says, 12. 12. So he yells back to him and says, 12 shukos? I'll take 3 by myself, and I'll destroy all the people in 3 shukos. You 9, take each one of you, take 1 each. You 9, take 1 each. Binyamin, you don't have to do anything. Binyamin, you sit on the side. I'll take 3, you guys take 9. That's what Yehuda said. All of a sudden, Yosef yelled out, Yehuda, Mitzrayim is not like Shechem. You kill Mitzrayim, you're killing the entire world. Once again, the ideas come right back. Yehuda's coming along and saying, starting a separation of Malchus. The Shvatim started to agree with Yosef. Shvatim started to say, yeah, Yehuda, we don't have to kill everybody over here. Why are we killing people? What are we going to gain out of killing people? Said Yehuda, all right, we're splitting. You 9, go over there. You guys want to be with Yosef? You want to be a Malchus Yisrael? You guys go over there. I'm taking Binyamin, and I'm taking either Levi or Shimon. I'm taking them on my side. I got 3. You 9, you go on your own little way. You do whatever you want. That's what he told them. But I'm taking 3 Shvatim for myself. Malchus Yehuda is going to remain on their own. Malchus Yisrael, you guys can do whatever you want. You guys can do whatever you want. So he said, Mitzrayim is in Shechem. You can't go ahead and kill everybody like we said before. Why would God make them according to you? Said Yehuda, if I open my mouth up, I'll swallow you entirely. Said Yosef right back, I'll close your mouth with a massive, massive stone. I'll close your mouth with a stone. I don't fully get that. I don't want to try to explain that for right now. There's a tremendous sword behind that, what the stone is. The stone was the one that's blocking up the Torah that was coming out from the Be'er of Yaakov. I don't know exactly what that's going on though, so I'm going to stop with that one. But Yehuda yelled out, what am I going to tell Yaakov? So Yosef said, the rope went after the bucket. His mother stole the truffin. So Binyamin stole the gviya. Binyamin stole the gviya. What he was hinting to is, Yosef, hold, there's no such thing as sinning. You're not allowed to sin. So Yosef was telling them, Rachel stole. Every time you do an Avera, you can't do tshuva on that. It brings itself right back, and another Avera will follow. Avera goreres Avera. You can never sin, or you're never going to come back. And you say, once you start sinning, Yehuda, you're never going to come back. Said Yehuda, the fire of Shechem is in my heart. I'm ready to destroy everybody right now. That's how angry I am. Yosef said, that's not the fire of Shechem. It's the fire of Tamar inside your heart. The fire of Taiva. You think you're doing this L'Shem Shemayim? You think you're ready to kill everybody in Mitzrayim L'Shem Shemayim? You're not doing it L'Shem Shemayim. You're doing it out of Taiva. Pure, pure desire. You're not doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it for the absolute wrong reasons. Said Yehuda, I'll paint all the shukos of Mitzrayim with blood. I'll paint the shukos entirely of blood. I'll make blood all over the shukos. Said Yosef, you guys have been painters your entire life. You painted my coat also. Not saying my coat. You painted Yosef's coat before also. You guys have done this before. Good. You'll have a place to dip your coat. You'll have a good place to dip the coat afterward. Like that's what he went ahead and said to him. Once again, trying to say, you do a sin, it's going to lead you to do another sin. You're going to do something else with it. That's Yosef. Yehuda took out a 400 shekel stone, threw it up in the air, caught it with his other hand, tried to show them how powerful he was. 400 is the Koach HaTumah of Mitzrayim. You think you're going to stop me with your kishuf, with your magic, says Yehuda? I'll stop you. There's no way you're going to be able to do it. I can take your tumah, throw it up in the air, catch it with my other hand. There's nothing that's going to happen. Yosef pointed to Menashe. Menashe, a 6-year-old, kicked a massive pillar in the middle of the palace and turned it into little bits of dirt. And he said, we have power here as well. There's power here as well that you can't understand. Everyone said, this kid has to be a Jew. He's got to be from Beis Yaakov. There's no way this kid could be from anywhere else. There's no way. Because how in the world could he have such power to be able to knock down a pillar in the middle of nowhere? There's no way. He must be from us. He worked himself up until a single hair poked through his armor. He had a hair that poked through his armor and came through his armor. The pshat is because Melech Poritz Geder L'Atmo, that a king, whenever he wants something, he can make a fence by himself. It shows the Malchus of Yehuda that Yehuda is ready to become the real king. Menashe brought with him 10,000 swordsmen, 500 horsemen, and 400 SWAT guys. You know, these like famous guys with like these all these things all over. And Yehuda saw them and immediately said, oh, you want to fight? He let out a massive roar. A massive roar, the likes of which have never been heard in Mitzrayim. 4 aftershocks. Or number 1, the guys in the front row row of the army, those guys had their heads completely turned around their bodies. Their heads completely turned around. The guys in the middle row all died. The guys in the third row flew back. Flew back as it was like a wind that came up against them. After that, four aftershocks. Number one, all the women in Mitzrayim miscarried. Number two, Pisom and Ramses fell down. Number three, Paro and Yosef both fell off their thrones. And number four, Hushin ben Dun, who is death, ran inside and said, Yehuda, did you call me? Came running inside. The pshat beyond that is Mashiach. Mashiach is coming in at the very end of the day. After Yehuda makes that roar, the Tekiyas Shofar, at the very end of days, Mashiach ben David comes running inside. That's the idea behind it. Adoni Yedaber No, the last letters are Ari, that he let out the big line, the line of the lion's roar, whatever it is. Menashe ran up to him, and he gave him a massive pinch in the neck. He gave him a little Vulcan neck pinch from like Spock. He gave him that little speck, that Spock thing over there. And after that, Yehuda calmed himself down. So he said, Yosef said to him, listen, let everybody out of the room. He got everyone out because everybody started to come up to him. Paro even sent him a message. Give them what they want. These guys are crazy. This is like, these are the craziest people you've ever seen in your life. They're going to kill all of us. Let them have whatever they want. Send them away. Who cares if they stole something? Get them out of here. Yosef couldn't take it anymore. Everybody who was arguing against him was just Yosef against the entire world. He said, everybody out. And that's when he said to the brothers, listen, I agree. I'll give you back Binyamin if you give me back Yosef. Yehuda was so angry, he cried blood. His skin started peeling, became like copper pieces. It started peeling off his skin. That's how angry he was. Shimon yelled at him and said, you idiot! Have you not been paying attention? We don't know where Yosef is! What do you want us to do? Said Yosef, but I know where Yosef is. He's right here. Yosef, come out. Yosef, where are you? All of a sudden, he turns to the brothers and in Lashon HaKodesh yells at them, Ani Yosef, Hodavicha. All the pshatim, the 70 pshatim, the 70 drushim, the 70 rabbosim, and the 70 sodos, all in the different ways that you can learn them up, in the 50 different ways that you can learn up each one of those pshatim, all of them came out to the shvatim. They heard every single word that was ever said, and Ani Yosef Vodavichai, they heard the Griz, they heard the famous Beis HaLevi, they heard the Ramban, they heard the Orachaim, they heard the Kliyakar, all the pshatim that you have in Odiyos, Ani Yosef Vodavichai, every single pshat, they heard it, they're like, holy crud. And every single one of them died. Every single one of them died. A malach came, gave them tchias amesim. They got up. They immediately ran toward Yosef to beat the living crud out of him, to kill him. Gabriel came, split them all throughout the corners of the room. That's when Yosef said to them, Gishuna Eli, approach to me. I'll tell you what was going on over here. I'll tell you what happened. Yosef at that point gave up the malach. He was right in a lot of tainas, and Yehuda learned a tremendous lesson from this conversation. He learned that there is a purpose to goyim someone. But Yehuda became the ultimate king. He's the one that grabbed Binyamin. He's the one that kept Binyamin for himself. The Binyamin went to his side, and Yehuda became the Melech of Yisrael, not Yosef. Yosef became a partial king, a partial guy, a guy who was given a little bit, but that's it. He didn't get anything else. What?
Binyamin did too.
Binyamin always had the kingdom. He always had the beginning. He was never a sinner, so he always had something. Yosef told Paro, when he went up those 70 steps, you remember from last week, he told Paro, I know 70 languages. So he went up all 70 steps. When he got to the 70th step, he said to Paro, Shalom Aleichem. So the Medrash tells us that when he said the word Shalom Aleichem, Paro said back, I've never heard that language before. What are you saying? So he made Yosef swear. He made Yosef swear that he would never tell anyone that he didn't know that language. So they asked him, the Yafei Torah asks, why not ask him to teach you the language? That way you don't have to make him swear. Teach you the language, let Paro know the language from then on, and therefore, later on, if someone asks you, hey, do you know Hebrew? You'll know Hebrew. Why in the world can't you go ahead and learn it from Yosef?
Because you're not supposed to teach a goy.
Says the Chassam Sofer, you can't teach a Torah. Says the Chassam Sofer, an unbelievable thing. Lashon HaKodesh is not Ivrit. Paro knew Ivrit. He knew what Shalom Aleichem was. But he didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. With Lashon HaKodesh, there's no trikos. There's gematrias. There's all these. There's temuras. Akbash. Albam. Within your words, if you switch the letters around, you mean another thing entirely. There's all that. When you speak Lashon HaKodesh, it's not just, I say Shalom Aleichem. When I say Shalom Aleichem, I'm saying, oh, there's something going on over there. The weather is 63 degrees and sunny. That's what you're saying. Within these words, you have all these different meanings within your words. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's a word, Ginas Egozim, the garden of nuts. Ginas Egozim, he says, refers to the language of Hebrew. How does it refer to the language of Hebrew? Ginas, Ginas, Gimel Nun Sam, Gimel Nun Tuf, is gematrias, no trichomes, abbreviations, and tamuras, atbashes, and albums, and everything. That's of Egozim. Why Egozim? An Egoz has four parts to a nut. There's four parts to a nut. There's the outer shell, there's the inner part of that shell, there's a small little shell around the nut itself, and then there's the nut, the fruit of the nut itself. Four different parts to it. Those four different parts stood for the four different types of things that could happen to Chochmah of a Jew. The outside is Chochmas Yevonis. After the Torah gets given over to the Greeks, what do the Greeks do with that? That's the shell, the klipa on the outside. It's disgusting. There's no real Torah behind that. That's a bunch of crud. Doesn't mean anything. That's the outer shell. The inside of that shell is pshat. Very, very hard to understand. Very hard to really fully understand. And sometimes you get things totally wrong because of pshat. The inner shell on top of the nut itself is drush. Midrashim. Sometimes midrashim means something. Sometimes it gets a little bit hard to understand. But the fruit itself is remez and sod. Remez and sod, he says, are things that are beyond us to really fully understand. But once you start really understanding the Torah, you understand what Kabbalah does and what Ramazim are. It's the sweetest fruit you'll ever taste. It's something you can swallow. Can't swallow the other shells. Can't swallow everything else. But the inside of it is beautiful. Paro couldn't learn Lashon HaKodesh. It was impossible. It was impossible. When he spoke to him Lashon HaKodesh, Paro said, "Can you teach it to me?" He said, "I can try, but you need Ruach HaKodesh for Lashon HaKodesh. There's no way you can learn it on your own." So Paro made him swear. Swear to me that you're not going to say it to anybody else. Swear to me that you'll never tell anybody that you know a language more than what I do. And he had to swear to him to go ahead and do that thing. At the end of the day, when Yosef said to him, "Ki pi hamedaber aleichem," it's my mouth that I'm speaking to you. Says Rashi, was speaking Lashon HaKodesh. What's the raya? You don't think anybody else knew Ivrit? Nobody else knew Ivrit? You don't think Paro knew Ivrit? Of course they knew Ivrit. Of course they knew Hebrew. They didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. When he spoke Lashon HaKodesh, that convinced the Shvatim, must be that he knows something that we don't. That was the convincer. That was the clincher that got Yosef over everything else. Now, Membov, oh man, I never get to finish anything. All right, there's a Maskil of David also. There's another thing about this, but let's go one last board over here. Such an unbelievable. Membov Aleph. Parak Membov Pasuk Aleph. We spoke about this a little bit, but I want to go so far into it. We know Yaakov lied to Yitzchak and said, "I am Esav, Anochi Esav Bechorecha." We also understand that he didn't really lie when he said it. He meant something different. What did he mean by that? The Ben Ish Chai says in Parak Membov Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Vayisa Yisrael, Yisrael traveled Chol Shalom and everything he had. Be'er came to Be'er Yizbach Zvachim, he gave korbanos Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Yitzchak." Why not Avram? Why not his own God? Say his own God. Say the God of Avram. Why the God of Yitzchak? Why Yitzchak over anybody else? Vayomer Elokim Yisrael B'mar Zalayla. God appeared to Yisrael in a vision of the night. Vayomer Yaakov, 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 Yaakov. Vayomer Hineni. Why do you call him Yaakov? Call him Yisrael. The Pesukim of Vayomer Elokim Yisrael. Why call him Yaakov? The pshat is that Yaakov was worried. Maybe the reason why we're going into Gullus is because I lied. Maybe it's because I lied. Maybe that's the reason why we're going into Gullus. Maybe that's the reason. It's because I screwed up. I did something wrong. I'm a man of MS. I'm a man of truth. And I lied. And now I'm going to go into Gullus. Now I'm going to be Meshabed to the Mitzrayim. Now I'm going to have to work for the Mitzrayim. So he brought a korban to his father Yitzchak's God. He lied to Yitzchak. And he said to Yitzchak, "Yitzchak, forgive me. Forgive me for what I did. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that this is a problem. Please forgive me." To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back to Yisrael, Yashar El, that he was straight up, he never lied, and said, "Yaakov, Yaakov." There's a little line in between the two Yaakovs. That line, says the Ben Ish Chai, stands for above. We know Yaakov could be spelled with above. Take that above, put it in one Yaakov, put it in the other Yaakov, because it's in the middle. It becomes Yaakov, Yaakov with two vavs. Yaakov with above is 188. 188 plus 188 is 376. 376, the gematria of Esav. You are Esav, my friend. You're the good part of Esav. Esav's kedusha is within you. You are Esav. When you said Anochi Esav Bechorecha, you aren't lying. You are Esav. You're just a different part of Esav. Esav's evil is over there. When you bought the Bechora, you bought the good part of Esav. You bought the kedusha of Esav. You took the Nitzotos HaKedoshim out of Esav and brought it for yourself. You became Esav from the good. That's Yaakov, Yaakov. And that's what he's referring to. And therefore he knew there's nothing wrong in it. To end it off, the pshat over here is why it made out to be a knight. You ever think Yaakov? He's the man of night. He's the man of marid. He's the man with the avarim and the pedarim are brought up on the mizbeach. You know what the pshat is? Yancha Hashem biyom tzara yisagvenu elokei Yaakov. Hashem will answer you at a time of pain. The God of Yaakov will protect you. Yaakov is a man who, when you go down to Gullus, says Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, they're going down to Gullus now. That's why he's known as Yaakov. At a time of pain, you go to Yaakov. Listen to me, says the Meshech Chachma. Don't try using your seichel and your iyun to try to figure out why you're going down to Mitzrayim. Why this is happening, why that is happening. Don't think it's because, oh, it must be because I lied, must be because of this, must be because of that. Don't think that way. You know why? The Yosef Yoshis Yodcha Alav. Yosef will place his hand upon you when you die. The pshat behind that is, look at Yosef. Do you think Yosef understood why he went down to Mitzrayim? But look at him now. Obviously, there's a reason for it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Yosef went down to Mitzrayim and he accepted it, Yaakov, Kol Shekin Yu, don't think about it. Don't think anything. Just know there's a reason why you're going down to Mitzrayim. Don't think anything anymore. Don't worry about it. Yosef Yoshis Yodcha Alav. He shall place his hands on your eyes. Don't try looking at anything. Don't try figuring it out by using your eye to be able to figure it out. Don't do anything. Just accept the decree. Accept the gezerah. Go down to Golos. You guys will survive. You'll come back up. Anochi Elcha Gamalo. I'll make sure you come back up with me. And don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Gamalo is with an extra hay at the end. I'm going to bring you up again. That hay is the hay of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah went down with them into Mitzrayim. Because the Shekhinah went down with them into Mitzrayim, we know that what does a hay do? A hay gives you by Avraham, Sarah, Leah, Rivka, Rachel had Bilhah. There were two hays there in order to have children. You only have children with a hay. Sarah had to have a hay. Avraham had to have a hay. Rivka had to have a hay. Rachel got it from Bilhah, got one of the hays from Bilhah. Zilpah and Leah both had hays. In order to have a child, you need to make sure you have that hay. You got to have that hay inside there. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov Avinu, don't worry, the hay is going to be with you. And because the hay is with you, what does that do? Makes you give birth. You're going to have a crazy amount of kids. Thus we can understand the Medrash, the Balaturim, in the beginning of Parashat Vayechi, that says Yaakov Avinu is zocheh to be able to see 600,000 of his own children. How's that possible? Because Yaakov Avinu had the hay. He had the Shekhinah. And with the Shekhinah, you could have thousands of kids at one time. Thousands. That's where Puru Revu comes from. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. We have so much more, but what can you do? Have a good Shabbos.